This is the birthplace of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vrindavan Das Thakur is the Vyasadeva, or the compiler of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's known as that. Just as you see, birthplace of Vedavyas, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, parentheses, Mamgachi. So on the altar, as soon as they open the curtain and we see the deities, there are two sets of deities that were personally worshipped by Vrindavan Das Thakur right here. And they're deities of Gornatai and Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra. They're his deities. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur personally arranged for installation of Radha Krishna. And over to that side of the altar, to our right or to the altar's left, is a murti of Vrindavan Das Thakur. And the area, as you see, it was like a jungle. And not less of a jungle, but it's still, some of the natural beauty is boat. And sometimes, of course, it's been raining, so we mean by boat. But you can come here by boat, and the river is down this way. And we just came through the place that was so dense in jungle appearance that you couldn't see the light of the sun. It was so much foliage, just like a jungle. And this is where Vrindavan Das Thakur lived. Where we were this morning was still in Koladweep. Now we're in Modrumadweep. The island of Modrumadweep comes from a druma, or a tree, a banyan tree, that resided here in Modrumadweep, or in Mamgachi, this island, during the time of Ramchandra's pastimes. The dam here in Modrumadweep is none different than Ayodhya. So during Ramchandra's period of time in the forest, this is the forest, he came here. And he liked so much that he stayed underneath the big banyan tree. And he requested Lakshman to create a little cottage for them underneath this very huge banyan tree, so that they made their residence here for some time. And one day, when Ramchandra was seated peacefully, just smiling very broadly, Sita, understanding his heart, understood he was relishing something within. So she asked, "What is it that you're relishing so warmly and charmingly?" He said, This is a place of my eternal pastimes. Please understand, this is from Navadvipa Dham Mahatmya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing. Please understand, reside here eternally. And in the end of Dwarpa Yuga, at the early part of Kali Yuga, I will make my appearance here as the son of Mother Sachi and Jagannath Mishra, born in a Brahmana family. And my complexion will be like molten gold. And in my childhood pastimes, I'll induce the ladies to all chant the holy name of the Lord resoundingly with great enthusiasm. And then during my childhood, I'll perform pastimes of scholarship. Will astound everyone in all directions, and I'll become very famous as a great scholar. And then I'll become a householder, and I'll have two wives. And at the end of that period of my 24 years of living in this holy land, take sannyas and leave my mother crying with my dear wife Vishnupriya in her arms, also crying. Sita said, why would you want to do that? You're the upholder of Dharma, and this doesn't sound like Dharma. You're very merciful. Why would you do something that is causing such pain to your mother and to your wife? And he said, in the affairs of prema, or love, there are two categories of love. One is called sambhoga, love and union, and another is vipralamba, or love and separation. And that love and separation intensifies the feelings of love hundreds and hundreds of times. And so those who are my eternal associates, they'll experience an intensification of their love through separation. That very wife of mine, Vishnupriya, is none other than yourself, Sita. You will experience that same love and separation. And I will make an arrangement so that you will have a deity form of me. And you will show the world these higher stages of love of God and devotion, even in separation, to your lovable object, to your Lord and Master. So, Ramachandra made his residence here in Modadrumdweep for some time. The history describes he then left, heading for the south, heading for Odisha, and then continued performing other pastimes there. Now the little bit of the story of the life of Vrindavan Das Thakur, who in the next yuga, after as Lord Chaitanya appeared here, he was born in Mamgachi. Some say directly in this house or this place. And during his lifetime as a young boy, he worshipped Gornatai. He was the son of Narayani. We heard when we were in Srivasanga, those of you that were with us at that time, we heard that time where Srivas Thakur was in great anxiety about a rumor that the king was coming from the king's capital in a boatload of soldiers to come and destroy the whole of Navadweep because of the kirtan that was going at the house of Srivas Thakur. So he was concerned for the safety of all the Vaishnavas and their well-being. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed the pastime to take away that anxiety or concern. He entered into a mood of the personality of Godhead, Krishna, as a cowherd boy seeing cows on the side of the Ganga, and seeing the cows and the river and the cowherd boys, he became in the mood of Vrindavan. And then he went straight, running, to the house of Srivas Thakur while he was worshipping his deity. So when worshipping the deity, commonly the deity will come off the altar in some place in some worship. So he was doing the worship. And Lord Chaitanya came running into his house and running into the temple room and sat on the altar and said, I am he. I am he. I am the Lord. And remember the rest of the Leela. Said, let the king come. And if the king comes, I will challenge him. You are saying there's something wrong with this chanting of the holy name. I challenge you. I'll go with you directly to your palace. And I'll invite you to bring all the leading mullahs and whatever are the people that are spiritual teachers, and you get any one of them to show from the people or one of the palace animals, exhibit love of God and ecstasy. And they will not be able to do that. And I'll tell the king, I'll go to the forest and bring a wild bear and a wild elephant and bring him right into your palace and induce him to chant the holy name in ecstasy of love of God. Shilas, do not doubt it. I'll prove it to you. Bring Narayani. So they went and got Narayani, 4-year-old girl, and he commanded her, Narayani, chant in ecstatic love of Krishna. She began to cry profusely and exhibited symptoms of ecstatic love and started calling out, Krishna! Krishna! Srivas Thakur just fell prostrate with Lord Chaitanya and said, you're he, you're he. My anxiety is all gone. And from that pastime, it's described, she's often called the niece of Srivas Pandit. That is because she was daughter of one of his elder brothers. There were 4 brothers. So she was an elder brother's daughter, thus the niece of Srivas Pandit. And regularly Mahaprabhu would come to deliver remnants of his own prasadam, would eat in the house of Srivas Thakur by the food prepared by Malini, his wife. And from his plate and sometime from his own mouth, he would give his prasad to Narayani. Would you like a little of that prasad? Gauragundika. Describes that Malini and Narayani in Krishna's Leela were Ambika and Kalambika or something. Kalimbika.
Kalimbika.
The nurse of Krishna or the assistant of Mother Yashoda and her younger sister, who regularly, after serving the prasad to Krishna, prepared by Srimati Radharani, they would be given remnants. So Narayani is just continuing the same leela that she was having with Krishna, only with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And she grew up like that as an object of Mahaprabhu's affection. Narayani, when she became age for marriage, she was married to a brahmana. Not much spoken about him, but his name was Vaikunthanath Vipra. And his birthplace was Kumara. We're going to visit on our final day someplace very close to Kumarahatta. So some towards Calcutta, south of Navadweep. They were married, as the rest of the family, extended family in that whole house of Srivas Thakur, it meant the whole extended family, they lived there. And Narayani became pregnant. The father, before the child was born, the husband died. So Narayani came here to the place of her to deliver the child, and Narayani and Vrindavan Das Thakur lived here in Mamgachi. Then after the child was born, she moved to the house of Srivas Pandit, so for some time she could be protected by her uncle. When Vrindavan Das was a young boy growing up, all he heard about was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Day and night and night and day and day and night, and he had an unsatiable appetite to hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he had never met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was his life and soul. And when it was just about the time for him to be old enough to go to Puri and receive initiation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed this world. His pastimes were completed. Having never met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the young boy, Vrindavan Das, was devastated. So Nityananda, knowing his mood, came here to pacify his heart. And Vrindavan Das, knowing the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and the Leela of Lord Chaitanya, because the teachings and the Leela of Lord Chaitanya, that one must accept Lord Nityananda as good as oneself, as good as himself. In fact, honor should go to him first. You remember that pastime with Murari Gupta. So that was in his heart, and he very happily accepted Lord Nityananda as his Diksha Guru. And under the order of Lord Nityananda, he was instructed, understanding his true identity, to write a biography of Lord Chaitanya's life, and primarily based upon the Kadachas, or the diaries of Murari Gupta, he wrote Chaitanya, then it was called Chaitanya Mangala. But yesterday, we visited Sri Kanda, where Lochan Das also wrote a book called Chaitanya Mangala. And it is said between Lochan Das and Narahari Sarkar, they decided, actually, Vrindavan Das's position is the Vyasadeva of Lord Chaitanya's pastime, so his book rightfully should be called Chaitanya Bhagavat. So it became renamed Chaitanya Bhagavat. And the final portion of his life, not much is there available other than his position as a deliverer of Lord Chaitanya's message and a continuing branch on the Chaitanya tree that in an ongoing manner continued to give transcendental love for Krishna in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very wonderfully. Those that have read, I wanted actually this morning to read some portion of Vrindavan Das Thakur's writing just so you can get the... It's amazing. It's just spontaneous exhibitions of love with no intent at all to give any justification for anything he said. He just expressed himself in a spontaneous manner. In other words, his audience was devotees. His audience wasn't non-devotees and helped them become convinced that this is, you know, the absolute truth. He was just stimulating the ecstatic love and expressing his own ecstatic love for Lord Chaitanya. And you'll find a very song flavor in his Chaitanya Bhagavat of his unparalleled, unbridled devotion for Lord Nityananda. Again and again and again and again and again and again. It's throughout the whole of Chaitanya Bhagavat, his deep love for Lord Nityananda. And it's obvious, it's not just because he's his Diksha Guru. He had such deep love for Lord Nityananda. And the secret is that through acceptance of that shelter of Lord Nityananda, one can receive the mercy of the full mercy of Lord Chaitanya. It's exactly the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to receive the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you must receive the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And through receiving the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you receive the mercy of Srimati Radharani, and through whom you receive the mercy of Krishna. That's our system. So reading Chaitanya Bhagavat is more than lots of fun. It's spiritually important. We're going to shortly go out the gate and make a right-hand turn and go to another Gaudiya Math temple, where it's the name of the temple, the name of the place given by Bhaktisiddhanta is Sarangathakur Gaudiya Math. And Sarangathakur, your Sarangathakur Das, standing over here, named after Sarangathakur, the servant of, was another ecstatic devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Different flavor of ecstasy, of love for Lord Chaitanya. He also liked residing in this very simple jungle-like setting. His heart was very, very happy and content in his mood of Chaitanya. And he was an empowered personality. He was an amazing personality, which came out in many ways. It is said he and the disciple that he made would sometimes go into the jungle and find a sleeping tiger and call out very loudly and slap the tiger and say, "Chant Hare Krishna!" And they would, "Hare Krishna!" Lord Chaitanya did that passing through the Jharkhand forest, but Sarangathakur did it right here in Mamgachi. And snake, and tell the snake, "Chant Hare Krishna!" Put his hand inside the snake, because once there was some thorn inside the snake, and he reached inside to take the thorn out. Similar pastime took place in one of the followers of Narya. Very compassionate and fearless, fully empowered. So one of the places that Lord Chaitanya would come from time to time was here, and he would encourage Sarangathakur, accept disciples, help expand the message and give your mercy to others. And his reply was, "I don't find anyone qualified to become a disciple." Lord Chaitanya laughed and said, "You're right." "But anyone who becomes your disciple will become qualified." But he disciples. And one version of this exchange between them came following his confrontation with Devananda Pandit. We heard that in Kuliya. And after confronting Devananda Pandit and hearing him speaking non-devotional teachings, Mayavad teachings, the Bhagavatam, he was so disturbed. And he came right here in Saranga. "You accept disciples. This is my order." So he said, "The next person I meet, I'll accept as a disciple on your order." And it was in the evening time, and so he didn't meet any people till the morning time. He went in the morning to take his bath in the Ganga, down that way. And floating by was a board with a dead body strapped on the board. It was the body of a boy who was living, and he had been bitten by a poisonous serpent and died. And so, as was the custom, there was the option of burning the body or this other option, and they chose this other option, and his body was floating downriver. So Sarangathakur it was still dark, and he bumped into this body and chanted him in the ear of the dead body, and the boy came to life. And he said, "Your name is Murari." And the boy became his disciple. Meanwhile, upstream, his parents found out the boy came. The boy's alive. So they came here and started, you know, come on back home. We have a plan for your marriage. And he said, he is my father. Said, you and my mother were my father and mother. And I died. And now I've been given another life, and he's the one that gave my life. He's my father. And I'm just devoted to him. So I'm staying. So he stayed. So he then became a follower of Saranga Thakur, sometimes Murari Gosai or Murari Thakur or Murari Chaitanya. And like Saranga Thakur, he performed such amazing things as going here and there and just in an unrestrained manner, inducing people to chant and take shelter of a life of devotion. And remember, the advent of Lord Chaitanya was because there was such a preponderance of, such a proliferation of bad qualities. The age of Kali was out of control. Not like it's in control today. I mean, there's something about, on the one hand, there's such an influence of Tamagun Rajagun in Navadvip. Have you noticed? I mean, so many things without a long list. Just people talking to each other. They're shouting at each other and smoking. Anyway, when we went up the steps to the deity yesterday at Shikanda, there was a box of beaties and a smashes. Pujari. Anyway, without making a long list, this, you know, the fish and the goats and the etc. Just modes of nature. So strong. Woo. At the same time, there's, you know, some devotion. So when the wet wood needs to become dry wood. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came for that purpose. And the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were soured that they could do as he did. Inconceivable, amazing ways. Raghunandana Thakur. One of the leelas that I didn't mention was when he and Abhiram Thakur were embracing one another. They started in ecstasy, and from Abhiram Thakur's ankle, he had an ankle ornament, and it went flying in the air 4 miles away and landed in a pond that's called Nippur Kund. I mean, I want to read something from Chaitanya Bhagavat just because it's so nice. This is Lord Nityananda's travel. After he received an order from Lord Chaitanya in Puri saying, I've appeared in this world to deliver the fallen, but my mother has asked me to stay in Puri, and I must follow. There's this request of my mother, but I'm failing to perform the purpose of my appearance. So through you, I'm requesting you. You be the deliverer of the pure holy name. If you remain silent like a Muni and renounce your magnanimous nature, then tell me, who will deliver the fools and wretched souls who have fallen into material life? Now, if you wish to fulfill my promise, go to Bengal without delay. Deliver the foolish, wretched, fallen, and distressed persons by giving them devotional service. Immediately, Lord Nityananda left. And he took his associates with him. Lord Chaitanya assigned a number of persons, this one, that one, but most of them were in of cowherd men. And some of them were in the mood of gopis. Just listen. The topmost Vaishnav, Ram Das, was the first to manifest the mood of a cowherd boy. Somewhere on the way, Ram Das forgot the external world and stood for 9 hours in the middle of the road in a threefold bending position as they were having kirtan. Gadadhar Das became absorbed in the mood of Radhika. He laughed loudly because he's of Radharani. He said, "Who will buy yogurt?" He was carrying a pot, just an empty pot, and was in the mood of selling yogurt. The most magnanimous Raghunath Vaidhi Upadhyay became fully absorbed in the mood of Revati. Krishna Das and Parameshwara Das raise a loud uproar in the mood of cowherd boys. Purnananda Pandit would climb a tree and then jump from it declaring, "I am Angada." In this way, Nityananda, the origin of Ananta, aroused all of the devotees' transcendental sentiments. Within a half an hour, they would cover 4 to 8 miles. They did not know whether they were going right or left. Sometimes they would ask people, "Which way to the Ganges?" They would say, "Oh, you've taken the wrong path. You've gone 6 hours out of the way." And then they would go that way. And then they were unaware of their own bodies, what to speak of the road. They did not feel any bodily urge like hunger, thirst, fear, distress. They were relishing transcendental happiness. Then they went for some time to Panihati. The body of Nityananda Swarup was most enchanting, and he glanced mercifully on everyone. When he was eating, sleeping, or wandering about, he did not waste a moment without Sankirtan. Whenever he performed dancing and congregational glorification of Krishna, many people became overwhelmed with ecstatic love. Even the householder's children, who did not know anything, uprooted large trees, and then they would hold the large trees like a flute and play on the flute, and flute sounds came. Each boy possessed such strength that people were unable to control him, roaring, "I am a cowherd boy." The children would joyfully roar like lions and call out, "Oh, glories to Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Nityananda." For 1 month, those children did not eat anything. People became struck with wonder on seeing this. Whoever saw a child go without a meal? What to speak of 1 month? The Lord would feed the children with his own hand as if they were his children. He would sometimes bind one of them and keep him nearby. Although he beat them and bound them, they would laugh loudly. One day, Lord Nityananda went to the house of Gadadhar. So as they were traveling, his original home, they went to his house. Gadadhar was in ecstatic love in the mood of a gopi. He held a pot of Ganges water in his head and continuously called out, "Who wants to buy milk?" They were in love for Krishna. He had indeed enchanting deity of Sri Bal Gopal in his temple. When Nityananda saw the enchanting deity of Bal Gopal, he affectionately embraced the deity to his chest. When everyone saw Bal Gopal on the chest of Ananta, they began to loudly chant the name of Hari. The great wrestler Nityananda roared loudly and began to dance in the mood of a cowherd boy. And it just goes on like that. And on and on and on. So, because we didn't get to speak about Gadadhar Pandit, and here we are in Mamgachi, I'll continue with. So Gadadhar Das, at some point, in the same village where he lived, while this period of time where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was stayed for some days in his home, in there was a kazi, and he was known to be really mean, that everyone was afraid of him. But in such a ecstatic, intoxicated state, Gadadhar Das decided he should also chant the name of Krishna. He went to his house at midnight. Everyone was asleep. Even the guards were asleep. And he went and woke up the guards and said, "Where is the kazi? I want him to chant Krishna's name." He was right in the middle of a big foyer because he had a big palace, and the guards didn't do anything. They just stood there and looked at him, amazed, because he was in this ecstatic state. And the kazi came from the stair at the top and looked over the stair and normally would have said, "Kill him." But he said, "What are you doing here? Do you know what time of night it is?" And he said, "I've just come to give you the most valuable thing, the chanting of Krishna's holy name. You just chant Krishna's holy name once and all your sinful reactions will be gone. Please chant Krishna's name." And the kazi said, "Maybe tomorrow I'll chant Krishna's name. Please go away." And that "You've chanted the name just once, and just this once is sufficient to cleanse all your sinful reactions." And he just raised his arms and went dancing out the front door of the palace. Such was the mood of the associates of Lord Nityananda. And it takes one like Vrindavan Das Thakur to describe such a mood of Nityananda. And he understood, because he was such a devotee. And those that aren't devotees don't understand. Maybe we don't understand because we're not such elevated devotees. But just by hearing of the auspicious pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda and Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's filled with ecstasy. And when, as one becomes purified in heart by our regulative practices and come in contact with these ecstatic expressions, it becomes so wonderful. And similarly, Saranga Thakur and Murari Chaitanya are similar personalities of a different type. They weren't literary people. They were just ecstatic people. So the deities of Saranga Thakur are on the altar at the next temple where we'll go. And also the deities of Vasudev Datta and Shivananda Sen. And Vasudev Datta, what do you know about Vasudev Datta? Everyone knows about Vasudev Datta. Vasudev Datta said to Lord Chaitanya, with sincerity and genuine feelings of compassion in his heart, "My dear Lord Chaitanya, you've descended into this world to deliver the fallen souls. Please deliver all of them. And if you think their sinful activities are too vast, then I make this one request. Transfer all their sinful activities to me so that I can, with whatever it means, so that they can be freed from the bondage of their sinful lives. I'll take birth in hell for unlimited numbers of births if they can simply be delivered from their sinful condition." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Asudev Dutt, there's no devotee such as you. You've purchased me by your sincere compassion. I declare it." There's particular way of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami speaking about when he was glorifying someone. It is said that he sometimes spoke as if he had five mouths, or sometimes 10 mouths, but in relation to Vasudev Dutt, with thousands of mouths. He would say, "I declare it again and again. I am Vasudev, that's man. He can take the place and sell me for whatever whatever price he likes. I am the property of Vasudev Dutt. I declare it again and again, and you would declare it again and again. He has purchased me. I am his property. I declare it again and again. The mood of compassion was the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he had imbibed it in such a extreme and complete way. He had purchased Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That means you can deliver me. You can deliver that which Lord Chaitanya came to deliver just by developing compassion to do so. And one may say, not qualified. And that's true, we're not qualified. But take the position of humble service and become qualified and be such an instrument. That was the position of Vasudev Datta. Because of the rain and so many factors, we're not going to go, but not so going that away from his place, from Sranga Thakur's Gaudiya Math. There are the ruins of Vasudev Dutt's house. There's the outline. It was huge. It was a palace. And the stones are still there outlining, you know, where the palace was. He was very wealthy. But he was so charitable that by the end of the day, whatever he had, his wealth was gone. And then the next day, all of his wealth was gone and gone. And one time in Puri, Lord Chaitanya said, Vasudev Dutt, you don't manage money very well. You need someone to manage your financial affairs so you can take care of your family properly. So he assigned that service to Shivananda Sen. And we'll hear more about Shivananda Sen when we go to Panihati. So Shivananda Sen was the one who took the responsibility. That was his capacity and his propensity to help all the devotees get from Bengal all the way to Puri. He was just like a father. So he became like a father to Vasudev Dutt, who was so magnanimous he couldn't maintain his family properly. Although he had wealth, just was so charitable. And the deities of Shivananda Sen are also there. We'll see when we go. So I'm sure there's some other wonderful pastimes and glories that I'm not thinking of at this moment. Two things. When we finish here, we'll go to Saranga Thakur's temple. We'll take darshan of the deity, and then we'll go to get on our buses, and we'll, on the way back, we'll stop at Janu. That's another island. So Kola Dweep, Modrum Dweep, Ritu Dweep, Janu Dweep. If you look at the map of Navadweep, nine islands, we've touched on the western side. So like, you know, from like 10 o'clock till 6 o'clock, or 6 o'clock till 10 o'clock, all that western side. Because when we went to Navadweep, that's, you know, just on the western bank of the Ganga. So everything west of the Ganga, we've touched on those islands, and we stop at Janudweep. Now, Janudweep, after Janu Muni, who had an ashram there. And when King Bhagirathi was bringing the Ganges down to the nether realm where his uncles had been incinerated by making it of Lord Kapiladev, that's a whole detailed description found in the Bhagavatam, ninth canto, you can read it. When he came to this, to Janudweep area, passing by Janu Muni's ashram, the flow of the Ganges started to flood everything. And as he was preparing his meditation, he had a Achman cup and spoon, and the river came and swept away the Achman cup and spoon. So Janu Muni just went and The Ganges disappeared. Into his body. He didn't have a big body, just had mystic power. And Bhagirathi was, I wonder where the Ganges went. And so he traced back and he saw Janamudi sitting there. And so he put two and two together and came up with four. That the Ganges has somehow, for some reason, entered into the body of Janamuni. So he stayed there and worshipped me for days. And finally, Janamuni said, what is it that you would like? And he said, the Ganges, please. Because I want to deliver my forefathers. And so, from his ear, the Ganges came out and continued flowing. So that pastime of Janamuni took place under a banyan tree